and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. Happy Father's Day! Today we have two Father's Day comedy shows, A Date with Judy and Jack Benny. First, we have A Date with Judy, the teenage radio sitcom that ran from 1941 to 1950. In this episode, Judy thinks of the perfect gift for her dad on Father's Day and ends up surprising him and giving the audience lots of laughs. This is A Date with Judy, Father's Day present, first broadcast June 10th, 1947 on NBC.
Night and day, at home or away, always carry Tums. T-U-M-S. Tums, famous quick relief for acid indigestion, presents A Date with Judy, starring Louise Erickson as Judy and John Brown as Father.
Hello?
Hello, Judy. This is Missy.
Hello?
Gee, your voice sounds funny, Judy.
Huh?
Oh, wait a minute, Missy. There must be a crossed wire. Will whoever is on the line kindly get off, please?
But, Judy, it is I, Oogie.
Oogie, what are you doing there?
Well, I was calling you.
Well, hello, Oogie. It's nice to hear your voice.
Oh, hello, Missy. It's nice to...
Well, isn't this interesting, talking to you both at the same time? What do you want, Oogie?
Well, I can't stay in front of Missy.
Go ahead, Oogie. I won't listen.
Well,
Go ahead, Oogie.
Oogie, Missy is my most bosom friend, and she can hear anything that you have to say to me. Missy, dear.
Yes, Judy?
Will you kindly hang up, and I'll call you back a little later?
That's Judy, folks. Judy Foster, the lovable teenage girl who is close to all our hearts. Your date with her each Tuesday is arranged by the makers of Tums, famous quick relief for acid indigestion. And now to the Fosters. It's early evening. Judy, her father and mother, and her kid brother, Randolph, are in the living room.
And then James Mason walks over to her. She's cowering in the corner, and he slaps her across the face hard.
He does?
Yes. And then he hits her on the shins with his cane.
With a cane?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my.
And then he twists her arm. And that's how she learns he loves her.
What?
How come he didn't kick her in the teeth? Then she'd have known he was crazy about her.
Oh, Randolph.
Judy, what kind of a man is this, James Mason?
Oh, cruel and violent and wonderful, Father.
Well, why does he do all these terrible things?
Because he's unhappy.
He's unhappy? What about the poor girl he's using as a punching bag?
Oh, she doesn't mind.
She doesn't?
Well, of course not. She knows he loves her, doesn't she?
What makes her think so?
Oh, Father.
Of course, you'd think she'd be too busy defending herself to worry about whether he loves her or not.
Oh, no, Father. Don't you see, his blows don't hurt her.
Why not?
Because she loves him so much, Mother.
Well, of course, you'll think me an old fuddy-dud, but in my day, when a man was in love with a girl, he usually preferred kissing her.
Oh, he does that, too.
When does he find the time?
Between punches.
Randolph, what do you know about love and romance?
Nothing, I'm happy to say.
So nowadays, the weight of a woman's heart is a nice black eye, huh?
Well, you can laugh all you want. As for myself, it was just the most thrilling picture I've ever seen. And Missy thought so, too.
That, of course, makes it official.
When did you see this picture, Judy?
This afternoon, with Mitzi. We sat through it twice. And that reminds me, Mother, Oogie wants to know if I can go to the movies with him tonight.
I think not, Judy.
But why, Mother?
Well, for one thing, you were to a movie this afternoon.
Well, I know. But this is a wonderful picture he wants to take me to, Mother. James Mason is in it.
Another James Mason picture?
No, the same one.
What?
But you just saw it.
Twice.
Oh, but that was this afternoon.
Minutes and minutes ago.
Randolph, please be quiet. Please, Mother, may I?
No, dear.
But, Mother!
I'm sorry, dear, but you were out with Oogie last night.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Why not?
Well, all we did was go for a walk. It didn't cost Oogie a cent. Please, Mother.
No, Judy. Absolutely not.
It's easy to see that Mother's Day is past.
Oh, Dora, let her go.
And Father's Day is yet to come.
And if it hadn't been for my father, Oogie, I wouldn't be going to the movie with you tonight.
Why? Doesn't your mother like me?
Well, of course she does. She thinks you're very nice and harmless.
Well, why did she...
Oh, it had nothing to do with you. She just didn't think I ought to go out tonight.
Oh.
But then Father said he didn't think it'd be so terrible if I went, and he talked Mother into letting me go.
Well, if it hadn't been for my father, we wouldn't be going to the movies either.
Really?
Yeah. You see, my mother said that seeing as how I'd taken you out the night before, it'd be better if I didn't take you out tonight, because if I took you out two nights in a row, you'd start getting ideas.
Oh, she did she?
Yeah. But my father told her to take another look at me, and if your folks didn't object, who were they to complain?
He did?
Uh-huh. He doesn't seem to think that I'm good enough for you, Judy.
You know, Oogie, I like your father. I've always liked him.
Yeah, he's a swell guy. And so is your father, Judy.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah.
Fathers are wonderful things to have, aren't they, Oogie?
Oh, boy, I'll say.
Not that mothers aren't wonderful, too.
Oh, sure. One is as important as the other one.
But fathers... Well, if there weren't fathers, who'd we go to when our mother said we couldn't do something?
And who'd give us our allowances?
And who'd earn a living for the family?
I guess this would be a terrible world without fathers. And I don't say that simply because I'm a man and a prospective father myself.
If there were no fathers, I think I would rather not have been born.
Me too. You know, sometimes I think we don't appreciate our fathers enough.
Or if we do, we don't show it.
Or if we do show it, it's once a year, on Father's Day. Or with a tie for a present.
Or a handkerchief.
Whether he needs it or not.
And usually we borrow the money from him to buy it.
A tie or a handkerchief. To express our appreciation for all he's done for us all year.
Huh. You are so right, Oogie. What does it mean? Nothing. It doesn't even mean a sacrifice on our part, usually. We go into a store and spend 2 minutes selecting it. What were you going to get for your father this Father's Day, Oogie?
A tie. What were you going to get, Judy?
A handkerchief.
We ought to be ashamed of ourselves.
Well, I'm not going to get him a handkerchief. I'm going to get him something that means something. Something that'll show him what I think of him. Something that takes a sacrifice on my part.
Me too. What are you going to get?
I don't know. What are you going to get?
I don't know.
But I'll think of something. And when I do...
Yeah?
It'll be absolutely something astonishing. And that's what Oogie and I decided.
Well, what is it you're going to get for Father, Judy?
That's personal and requires a sacrifice on your part.
Well, I don't know. I was hoping you'd have a suggestion.
Well, you don't want to get him a tie, huh?
Definitely not.
Well, how about a handkerchief?
That is exactly the kind of thing I don't want to get him.
But what could be more personal than a handkerchief?
But that's so easy. There's no sacrifice involved.
There's got to be a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Father's got to be able to tell, just by looking at it, how much I think of him.
Something personal and entailing a sacrifice.
That's right, Mother. Mm-hmm. I want it to be something from me, not something he can get just any old place.
How about a lock of your hair? That's something he couldn't get any old place but from you.
Lock of my hair? What can he do with it?
Maybe he graft it onto his head. He could use a lock here.
Oh, don't be silly, Randolph. Mother, can't you think of anything?
Well, I can think of things, dear, but if it's personal, there's no sacrifice, and vice versa.
It's got to be both. I won't settle for...
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Father.
What's in that package, Father?
I bought myself a new pair of shoes for the summer.
Oh, let's see.
Brown and white. I've always wanted a pair of brown and white shoes. There. How do you like them, huh?
Long, aren't they?
Is that all you've got to say? Dora, what do you think?
Well, They're very pretty, but...
But what?
Are your feet really that big, Milton?
Big? Big? I don't see anything so big. Do you, Judy?
Well, there's an awful lot of white on them.
There is not! They're... Why are you staring at them like that?
I was just thinking that I could probably get both my feet...
Is that so? Well, I like them. What do you think of that?
I think...
Never mind.
Yes, sir.
Now that you've all had your little laugh, I'll take my shoes and try them on. Please, excuse me.
Oh, dear. We've hurt his feelings.
Well, how are we to know Father was so sensitive about his big feet?
And I never realized that they were that big.
Those shoes would make two of the prettiest waste paper baskets I ever saw.
Mother, I've got it.
Got what?
I know exactly what I want to give Father for Father's Day.
A foot shortener?
No. A pair of Argyle socks, which I shall knit with my own two hands.
But, Judy, you've never made a pair of socks before, have you?
No, but Missy has. She'll help me. I'm going to see her right now. Goodbye.
Don't be late for dinner, dear.
I won't, Mother.
Oh, Judy.
What, Randolph?
You're planning to knit a sock for each of Father's feet, aren't you?
Well, of course.
In that case, I have one suggestion to make.
What's that?
Corner the wool market.
Well, of course, Judy, I haven't knitted too many pairs of socks, but I'd be delighted to help you.
Oh, thank you, Mitzi. I knew I could count on you.
Thank you, Judy. Now, the first thing we've got to decide is what colors to make them.
I know exactly what colors I want. I want them to match his new brown and white shoes, so I think the socks should be brown and beige with green argyle.
I see. Well, the next thing to decide is how much wool to buy. How big are his feet?
Pretty big.
But how big? Do you know his size?
I'm afraid not.
Well, are they this big?
Bigger.
This big?
Bigger.
Judy Foster, this is no time for jokes.
But I'm not joking, Missy. He has rather longish feet.
But if his feet are any longer than this, I don't see how he could possibly walk.
His feet are longer.
They are?
I know it's hard to believe, but they are.
Gee, this is liable to run into big money. I'll tell you what, Judy. Why don't you bring over one of your father's shoes so we can see exactly how long the socks should be?
All right. I'll bring it over tomorrow after school. I can't tell you how I appreciate this, Mitzi.
Oh, Judy, it's a supreme pleasure. And besides, I'll think of something that you can do for me.
If you don't think little things count, just get a cinder in your eye at a ball game, or even worse, get caught with acid indigestion and no Tums in your pocket. The wise thing to do is, night and day, at home or away, always carry Tums. Then at the first hint of heartburn, just slip one or two tasty Tums in your mouth, the same as you would candy mints. Almost instantly, Tums neutralize excess acid, calm your acid upset. No mixing or stirring with Tums. No soda in Tums either. No water-soluble alkali to over-alkalize the stomach and bring on acid rebound. So never over-alkalize, always neutralize excess acidity with Tums. Get Tums tonight. Still only 10 cents a roll, 3-roll package a quarter, any drugstore. Ask for Tums. T-U-M-S. Tums for the tummy. And now, back to a date with Judy.
Judy, where in the world are you going with one of your father's new shoes?
I'm taking it over to Mitzi, so she can see how much wool I'll need.
If that shoe had wheels on it, you could ride it over to Mitzi.
Well, you better get it back before your father comes home.
Oh, I'll be home long before Father.
Hi, Dora. Hello, son.
Hi.
Melvin, what are you doing home so early?
Oh, I made an important appointment for this afternoon. I thought I'd put on my new tan suit. Want to make a good impression.
Well, were you planning on wearing your new shoes, too?
No.
Oh.
But it's a great idea. I think I will. Be back in a few minutes, Dora.
Uh-oh.
Randolph, go into the living room and call up Judy at Mitzi's. Tell her to bring the shoe right back and get it up into Father's bedroom.
Okay.
I'll try to stall until she does.
Dora!
And it won't be easy. Hurry, then.
Okay, Mother.
Dora!
What is it, dear?
You usually come in pairs, don't they?
Melvin, what are you talking about?
I can only find one of my new shoes!
Oh, nonsense. Look under the bed. Randolph, did you get Judy?
Yep, she's on her way.
Shh, here comes Father.
I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I've looked everywhere. And I can't find my other shoe.
Well, you don't think it got up and walked off by itself, do you?
Well, with that particular shoe, it's not beyond the realm of possibility.
Randolph! I tell you, I searched everywhere, Dora.
But, Melvin, you couldn't have. Now, let's see. Did you look on the top shelf in the closet?
Oh, why should I? I didn't put them there.
Well, if that's the way you look for things.
But, my goodness, they couldn't be up on the table. Oh, all right. Dora, why should I look in the drawer where I keep my shirts? I couldn't possibly have put my shoes there.
But, Father, did you look in the clothes hamper?
Clothes hamper?
Melvin, you mean you didn't look in the clothes hamper?
Well, naturally not.
Father.
What?
Remember how sensitive you were about our reactions to your new shoes?
Well?
Well, isn't it possible that you were so sensitive that subconsciously you hid them in the clothes hamper? Without realizing it, of course.
Why, that is the most ridiculous... Is that possible?
Oh, much stranger things can happen when people are so ultra-sensitive.
Oh, nonsense. Never heard anything. Silly, but I'll look.
I don't think we can stall him much longer, Mother.
No, neither do I. Oh, Judy.
Holloway, am I too late?
No, you go on into the den, Judy. When Father comes back in here, you run upstairs and put the shoe back. Then go down the back stairs so Father won't see you.
All right, Mother.
Oh, this is not going to do Father's nervous system any good.
Well, we'll explain it to him after Father's day.
All the foolish wild goose chase. Stop conscious.
Well?
Naturally, my shoes were not in a clothes hamper. And don't anybody dare suggest I look in the medicine closet.
Melvin, why can't you ever find anything?
Me? Me? Why can't I find it? Well, I like it. This house is so disorganized. Things have got to change around here, Dora. I insist upon it. We've got to institute some order in this house. Organization!
All right, Melvin, all right. I'll find your shoe for you.
Oh, you'll find my shoe just
yes.
like that, huh?
Yes.
All right, Mrs. Wise Guy, come on.
Let's go.
So you think you're going to find it just like that after all the time I spent looking for it, huh?
Want to bet she does, Father?
You bet I do. I'll bet anything you want.
How about a week's allowance?
Randolph.
An opportunity like this doesn't come along every day.
There will be no betting, Randolph. Is that clear?
Yes, ma'am.
There, all right, Melvin, here we are. Now, where did you say you put your shoes?
Right in that closet. Right there under you. No.
Oh, no? What are those, Melvin?
But.
Looks like two shoes to me.
But.
Melvin. Were you playing a joke on us?
Joke? No. I mean...
Father, remember what I said to you a few minutes ago about your subconscious?
Well, yes, but...
Well, I was wrong.
You were?
Mm-hmm. Your subconscious sensitivity didn't result in your hiding the shoe.
I didn't, did it?
No, it resulted in your not seeing it.
Oh, no.
That was 4 days ago. And ever since then, he's been behaving a little strangely.
My goodness.
Well, what does your father do, Judy?
Well, if anyone should happen to mention the word feet, or anything that has any connection with feet, a wild look comes into his eyes.
Oh, it's a shame to worry your father.
Well, Father's Day is in 2 days, and then I'll be able to explain everything to him. Oh, by the way, Oogie, how's your Father's Day song coming?
Well, it's almost finished. All I've got to do is find a word that rhymes with pater.
How about tomato?
Tomato? Oh, what's that got to do with a father?
Oh, I don't know. Couldn't it be something about how pater is so wonderful because it's hard as it's soft as a tomato?
I think you better stick to helping Judy with her knitting, Mitzi.
Well, you don't have to act so superior, Oogie Pringle, just because you happen to be gifted with a creative temperament.
As a matter of fact, Mitzi, that's why we came over. I wanted you to tell me what to do next on Father's sock.
Well, let's see what you've got.
Here. You think this is long enough?
Holy smoke, is that for a human being?
It so happens that Judy's father happens to have unusually big feet.
Jeepers, I'll say he has. What about the other one? Or is he supposed to get both his feet into that one?
Naturally, there will be two of them. One for Father's Day, and one whenever I can finish it. Is it long enough, Mitzi?
Well, gee, it's hard to tell, Judy. Actually, there's only one way to really get it just right, and that is to try on a foot that it's intended for.
But how could I do that? I want it to be a surprise.
Well, do you know anybody who has the same size foot as yours? No, I guess you don't.
But what am I supposed to do?
Say, I've got an idea.
What, Oogie?
Well, when your father's asleep tonight, all you have to do is...
Do you think he's asleep yet, Mother?
I'll see. He's asleep.
All right, Randolph, come on. You promised you'd help me.
I'm right with you.
Now, lift the cover off his feet.
All right. There. Now, hurry.
I'll try. Hold his foot up while I slip the sock on.
Okay. Judy, you're tickling his feet.
Oh, I can't help it.
Now, be careful, Judy.
Well, I am, but I...
What's happening? What's happening? Judy's tickling his feet.
Judy, this is no time to play games.
I'm not playing games, Mother. It's just that I...
He's waking.
What should I do?
Pull off the sock and let's get out of here.
All right. There, let's go.
Watch out. What was that? Laura. Laura.
What? What's the matter, Melvin?
Someone was in this room.
Oh, don't be silly, dear. Oh. You go back to sleep.
But there was. Whoever it was tickling my feet. Oh.
Melvin, what are you saying?
I know it. There's somebody in this house. A prowler. A burglar. I'm going to see.
Melvin, come back to me.
No, sir. There was somebody. I'm going to see if the children are all right. Judy!
What is it?
It's me, Judy.
Father, what are you doing out?
Now, look, honey, don't be frightened. But there was someone in my room. Tickling my feet.
Oh, really, Father?
There was, I tell you. I remember laughing
What's
right out loud.
What's going on around here?
Father says somebody was in his room tickling his feet.
Oh, really, Father?
But there was a burglar. I felt him.
Father, do you mean to say you think a burglar has nothing more important to do than break into houses and tickle people's feet?
Well, I was... I know it sounds ridiculous, but... Well, then why did I laugh? Why should anybody want to tickle my feet?
That's a good question, Father.
Father, I'm afraid your subconscious is working overtime.
Huh? What do you mean?
Well, it was bad enough when you didn't see the shoes that were right in front of you.
Yeah.
But when you dream that burglars break into the house just to tickle your feet.
You're right. I should have consulted a psychiatrist right in the beginning.
But, Father...
Don't worry, dear. I'll make an appointment the first thing in the morning. I'll be all right. I hope.
And then, Mother, he said he was going to call a psychiatrist the first thing in the morning.
He's downstairs looking in the phone book right now.
Judy.
What, Mother?
Judy, don't you think that you'd better...
Yes, Mother. I'll have to tell him about the socks.
Of course you will.
Oh, dear. Now my Father's Day present won't be any surprise on Father's Day.
But it'll be nice to have Father all there.
And that's the way it happened, Father. All because I wanted to be sure that your sock was the right size.
You mean you were tick... You mean it wasn't my subconscious? You mean...
Yes, Father.
Of course, I knew it all the time.
Of course.
Yeah, but just the same. Oh, now, Judy, don't look so sad, dear. Everything's all right. I'm not mad at you.
Oh, Father.
Imagine knitting a pair of socks for your old father.
Well, not exactly a pair. Just one sock, on account.
On account of she ran out of wool.
Who cares? Judy, honey, I love you!
So I simply had to tell him, Oogie.
Yeah, I guess you did. Boy, imagine going around thinking people are tickling your feet.
And now I have nothing for my father for Father's Day.
What do you mean? You have a whole sock finished, haven't you?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing would induce me to give it to him now, Oogie. Don't you see? He knows about it. It wouldn't be any surprise.
Oh.
And I'm completely without funds to buy him anything else.
Oh.
Oogie, did you finish your Father's Day?
Boy, did I. It's my masterpiece. Just wait till my father hears it. No. No, Judy. I wrote it for my father. I It's really not very good, Judy. I'm sure your father wouldn't like it. Judy, please don't look at me like that. Please.
Happy Father's Day, Father.
Well, thank you, son. And thanks for this beautiful green tie. Isn't it beautiful, darling?
It certainly is, dear.
How did you know this was exactly what I wanted?
Well, I figured that if things ran true to form, anything I got you would be exactly what you wanted.
Well, it certainly is.
Happy Father's Day, dear Father, dear.
Oh, thank you, dear daughter. Where is the sock you knitted for?
Well, Father, to tell you the truth,
hi, everybody.
Oh, hi, Ogie.
Happy Father's Day, Mr. Foster.
Oh, thank you.
Well?
Judy, my father loved it.
He did?
Uh-huh. He said he couldn't have found a better receptacle for bottle tops if he'd had one made to order.
Oh.
What are you kids talking about?
Well, you see, Father, when I told Oogie you knew all about the present I made for you, he simply insisted we trade Father's Day gifts.
I did?
Yes. So Oogie gave his father your present, and I'm giving you his present.
I see. I think. Well, what did I win?
Go ahead, Oogie. You sit right down there at the piano.
Okay.
What is all this?
Well, I've written a little song for the occasion in your honor, Mr. Foster. It isn't much. I think it's pretty good.
Well, go ahead, son.
Well, here goes. If his socks should forever need mending, and stray dogs he's always befriending, and his jokes never have a funny ending.
Huh?
Yep, that's our dad. If he's proud of his son and his daughter,
that's more like it.
And boasts of them more than he oughter, and he sure doesn't spend his dough like water.
Now wait a minute.
Yep, that's our dad. And when it comes to making speeches, that's when father's at the top. But time and again, he never knows when to stop.
Huh?
That pop.
Still, we're all very fond of our pater, and we feel that there's nobody greater.
And our own precious ever-loving mater says that she's glad that he...
A Date with Judy is written by Aline Leslie and stars Louise Erickson as Judy and John Brown as father, with Dix Davis as Randolph and Myra Marsh as the mother. Oogie is played by Dick Crenna and Mitzi by Sandra Gould. The music was arranged and played by Gordon Kibbe. The song, That's Our Dad, was written by Hal Bourne. The program was produced and directed by Helen Mack. This is Ken Niles inviting you to be with us again next Tuesday at this time to keep your date with Judy. And remember, night and day, at home or away, always carry Tums. T-U-M-S.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, Jack Benny combines the last show of the season with Father's Day. Henry Aldrich will be taking Jack's place for the summer, and to promote it, they have a guest appearance by the actor who plays Henry Aldrich. This is the Jack Benny program, Father's Day, first broadcast June 16, 1940 on NBC.
One cherry phosphate.
One cherry phosphate.
Hey, buddy, I've got a broadcast to do in a few minutes. Will you please hurry with my sandwich?
Why don't you eat after the broadcast?
Because I'm hungry now. Get the sandwich.
Okay, Mr. Benny. What kind was that again?
Tuna fish and peanut butter on rye bread.
Oh, yes, with an egg in it.
The egg goes in my malted milk. Now hurry, please. Oh, hello, Don.
Oh, hello, Jack. Think I'll have time for a bite to eat before our broadcast?
Yes, if we can get a little service here. Sit down.
Okay.
Well, there goes my new straw hat. That did it.
Oh, that's too bad, Jack. I didn't see it. Is it crushed?
Like a pansy in a dictionary. Is my hat crushed?
Well, I'm so sorry, Jack. I think I ought to pay for it. How much did it cost?
No, forget about it, Don.
Okay. Jeepers. Just think. A few more minutes and we'll be during our last...
450. Just mail me a check.
Hiya, Mr. Wilson. What'll it be?
I'll have a club sandwich, please.
Okay. One clubby for Tubby.
Cover it up.
And hurry mine while you're at it.
Hi, Jack. Hello, Don.
Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello.
What are you eating, Jack?
Oh, my regular. Tuna fish and peanut butter.
What a man. Just because they name a sandwich after you, you eat it every time you come in here.
Well, why shouldn't I? The Jack Benny three-decker delight is very healthful. I always eat things that are full of vitamins.
Then why don't they show?
Oh, quiet.
Here's your club sandwich, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you.
What's yours, Miss Livingston?
I'll have a pineapple nut sundae with cherries and lots of whipped cream.
My goodness, Mary, why don't you eat something with vitamins?
Okay, put some tuna fish on it.
Mary, you better save all those cute remarks for the program. And incidentally, young lady, as long as this is our farewell appearance, I wish you'd be a little more careful what you say.
You mean I shouldn't tell them what happened at Paramount yesterday?
Don't you dare.
What happened, Mary?
Never mind. See? You're starting already.
Go on, Mary. What was it?
Yeah, what happened?
You stay out of this. And get my sandwich.
Well, Don.
Oh.
It seems that Paramount gave Fred Allen Dorothy L'Amour's old dressing room, which is right next to Jack's. Only Jack didn't know that Fred was in there.
Only Jack didn't know.
Anyway, Jack knocked on the door and yelled, "Hello, Dorothy. Hello, sweetheart."
It's very amusing.
And what happened, Mary?
Fred yelled back, "Don't come in. I haven't got my sarong on."
Yeah, but he didn't fool me for a minute.
But, Jack, I thought you told Mark Sandridge, the director, that you wouldn't make a picture with Alan.
Well, we compromised, Don. Alan can be in the picture, but he has to be the straight man. He gives me all the leads, and I give all the answers.
Well, that'll be a novelty. The question's getting the laughs.
I'll get the laughs, don't worry.
Here's your pineapple sundae, Miss Livingston.
Thanks.
Hey, wait a minute. She just got here. Where's my three-decker?
Phil's putting a poop deck on it.
Don't get fancy. Just bring it in. Hiya, kids. You better step on it. We'll be on the air in a few minutes.
Oh, hello, Phil. Hi.
Hello, Don.
Well, look who's on time tonight. What's the matter, Phil? Does your conscience bother you because this is our farewell program?
Holy smoke, is this our last broadcast? I better start saving my dough.
Yes, Maestro, you have about 30 minutes left to get an annuity. So make it snappy.
What'll it be, Twitch?
Hiya, bub. Just give me a glass of water.
Glass of water? Okay.
Put some bromo in it.
I thought so. A bromo seltzer, eh?
One Phil Harris special.
Coming up.
They know you like a book, eh, Phil?
Hey, fella. Hey, are you Jack Benny from the radio?
That's me. My program goes on just a few minutes.
Yeah, I heard it last week.
Oh, you did?
But I didn't like it.
That's too bad. You know, I can't please everybody.
Yeah, especially me. So long. I'll be listening.
Goodbye. I'm going to worry whether he likes me or not.
Here's your sandwich, Mr. Benny.
Well, it's about time. Give me that malted milk, too.
Okay.
Boy, am I hungry.
Say, Jack, I better run along upstairs. I'll see you in the studio.
All right, Don. Well, I'll be darned. Hey, buddy, I ordered a tuna fish and peanut butter.
Well, what's the matter?
This is tuna fish and peanut brittle. A fine combination.
Well, we're all out of peanut butter.
It's a nice time to tell me. Bring me something else, then. Bring me a turkey sandwich.
Okay. One turkey for jerky.
Coming up!
Now, see here, young man. I'm a very good customer, and if you think that
Pardon
I'm...
Pardon me, mister. Is this seat taken?
No. Sit right down.
Hey, Jack, it's getting late. We better get out of here.
Yeah, come on, Jackson. We'll be late for the broadcast.
Oh, I think I got time to eat a sandwich. Pardon me, mister. What time is it?
The time?
Yes.
I don't know. Hey, Eddie, what time is it?
I don't know. Hey, Bill, what time is it?
I don't know. Hey, Sam!
Never mind. I'll eat after the program. Come on, Mary. Hurry up, Phil.
Hall program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with Down by the Ohio. You know, ladies and gentlemen, a great many desserts are outstanding for one single quality. Some you remember for their delightful taste, others for their tempting appearance, their simplicity, or their low cost. But when it comes to Jell-O, there's a dessert that has everything. Color? Yes, color so gay and inviting that Jell-O is a joy just to look at. Flavor? Extra rich flavor. As downright refreshing as the fresh, juicy, ripe fruit itself. Ease and speed, for Jell-O dissolves instantly and sets quickly. Economy, because one package, costing only a few pennies, serves the average family in generous style. And last but not least, variety. For with Jell-O, you can enjoy any number of novel and satisfying desserts. So be sure to keep a goodly supply of Jell-O on the pantry shelf at all times. Then you'll always be ready to serve family and friends their favorite treat, Jell-O, the dessert that really has everything. Played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is only fitting that on this, our last program of the season, I should pay tribute to the man who has guided us through the past 36 weeks.
Oh, don't bother, Don.
A man whose spirit and leadership has made this program what it is today.
Oh, anybody could have done it. Maybe. Continue, Don.
A man whose buoyant and sparkling personality has been reflected into each and every one of us.
I have so much of it. Go ahead.
A man whose age and experience has proven invaluable to us younger members of the cast.
That one he could have left out. Oh, well.
So here he is, folks, the old Mother Hubbard of the Jell-O program, Jack Benny.
Hello again. This is Jack Benny talking. Old Mother Hubbard, that's a fine introduction on Father's Day. Don, as long as you started out so beautifully, why didn't you finish with something sentimental like, here he is, folks, the genial skipper of the good ship Jell-O, Jack Benny. Now, that would have been swell.
Well, to tell you the truth, Jack, that sounds a bit too corny.
Oh. Well, now that you mention it, it does sound a little like one of Phil Harris's mental nuggets.
There you go again. Oh, boy, am I glad this is the last broadcast.
You are?
Yeah. Next week, I'll be out on the road playing those one-night stands where people appreciate me.
Phil, you stay in a town longer than one night and see what happens. So you start on the road next week, eh? What's your itinerary?
Plain suits for the boys and a sport outfit for me.
Well, that was my fault. Phil, an itinerary means your route. What town's you gonna play?
Oh, well, why don't you come right out and ask me instead of ringing in them new words?
New words? Phil, the word itinerary is very common. I learned what it meant when I was in the third grade.
You learned to shave there, too, didn't you?
Mary, I wasn't in third grade that long.
Go on, they had to give you election day off so you could vote.
All right, go ahead, keep it up. I suppose I had rheumatism when I was in the third grade.
You spent your lunch money on liniment, if that's what you mean.
Now, cut that out! You never stop, do you? Mary, if I'm a big dodo like you try to make me out, how come I'm the star of this program?
Because you're a great comedian. You have a marvelous personality, and you know show business from A to Z.
Well, thanks. More like it. Say, Phil.
Oh, brother.
Now, don't spoil it. Say, Phil, as I started to ask you before I was sent back to third grade, what's your route? What town's you going to play?
Well, tomorrow night we open in San Bernardino, then we go to Santa Barbara, then Long Beach, then San Diego.
I see.
Then the following night we go to Fall River, Massachusetts.
Fall River, Massachusetts. How are you going to get there in one night from San Diego?
I don't know. Is it much of a drive?
You hear that, fellas? What a schedule. That'll be a fine vacation touring the country with those 18 downbeat derelicts. Say, Don, what are you planning to do on your vacation? Take a trip somewhere?
Well, Jack, this may come as a sort of a surprise to you, but I'm going to make a picture for Harry Sherman at Paramount. It's a Western.
Oh, well, I'll be darned. So you're going to make a Western, eh? Are you going to ride a horse, Don?
Yes, sir, and you ought to see that animal. It's a beauty.
So was Jack Straw Hackle. You sat on it.
Yeah, $450. Well, tell me about your picture, Don. Is it an interesting story?
Oh, very. You see, I am Sheriff Slim of Rattlesnake Gulch, and there's a mob of outlaws that come in town one night to rob the bank.
Rob the bank, eh?
Yeah, but I'm having the story changed so that now they break into a grocery store and steal some Jell-O.
Oh.
That makes me fightin' mad.
Well, I should imagine it would. What's a bank? So what, what happens, Don?
Well, I jump on my horse and follow the outlaws to their hideout.
I see.
And I'm almost within sight of them when suddenly my horse goes lame.
Oh, that's too bad.
So I continue by foot.
Don, you forgot to get off. And what happens next?
Well, to make a long story short, I capture the bandits, bring back the Jell-O, marry the grocer's daughter, and we have six delicious children.
Don't tell me. I can guess. Imagine a kid named Lemon Wilson. Well, it sounds like a fascinating story, and I wish you luck, Don. And now, ladies and gentlemen, going from Buck Wilson Rides Again to our vocal interlude, Dennis Day, our young tenor, will offer...
Dennis isn't here yet.
He isn't? I think he'd be on time for our last program.
Look, Jack, there he is, sitting out in the audience with his mother.
Where?
See that lady with a little boy on her lap?
Well, I'll be darned. Hey, Dennis, what are you doing out there?
I'm watching the program.
Well, get up here. You're on it.
Okay. Come on, Ma.
Would have to bring his mother with him.
Oh, Jack, it's our last show. What do you care?
She's always got a chip on her shoulder. The old... Oh, good evening. Good evening, Mrs. Day.
Good evening, Mr. Benny.
I'm so happy to see you.
Well, you certainly don't look it.
You see? You see what I mean? You see? There. Oh. You know, Mrs. Day, I don't like to say this, but since you've stayed away from the program, Dennis and I have been getting along fine, and he's improved tremendously. He's got more volume to his voice, more assurance, and more poise.
Then why don't you give him more money?
Because he's young yet. That's why.
Shirley Temple made $1 million before she was 10 years old.
Shirley Temple?
Yes.
Well, hang some curls on your brat, and we'll dick her. Now, look, Mrs. Day, give me a little credit. I've developed your son into being a first-class comedian.
Then he ought to have more jokes to tell.
Oh, now you want jokes for him. Well, for your information, Mrs. Day, there are just so many jokes in our script. And when this pack of wolves come in here Sunday night, your lamb is lucky if he gets to sing. And now, Dennis, how about a song?
Okay. Gee, Mr. Benny, you're not a bit afraid of my mother, are you?
Your mother? No.
The woman don't live that you're afraid of, eh, Tiger?
Mary, I don't like those nicknames. Go ahead and sing, Dennis. Mrs. Day, will you please take your seat in the audience?
On your little swing, I heard you sing through the livelong day, the way that lovebirds do. For there were two of you. Then this tragic thing that called your poor little mate away, and only you remain to sing a blue refrain. that wasn't meant to sing along. Blue lovebirds, still singing for your mate, but it's your fate to wait alone. Once there were two of you, singing to the dawn. What can a lover do when his love has gone? Ooh, lover, your song becomes a sigh. It seems that lovers die.
That was Blue Lovebird from Lillian Russell, sung by Dennis Day. A great song from a great picture. By the way, Dennis, did you see the picture?
Yeah. And I was wondering, Mr. Benny, do you think Alice Faye on the screen was as beautiful as the real Lillian Russell?
So they say. Of course, I never knew Lillian Russell.
Uh-huh.
Mary, I'm warning you. I suppose I knew Diamond Jim Brady, too.
If you did, you didn't get any on you.
Mary, I was just about to make an announcement concerning our cast next year, and a certain clever kiddo may be cut out. Now, sit down.
Yes, Mr. Benny.
Yes, Mr. Benny. And now, ladies and gentlemen, before we conclude this final broadcast, I would like to announce that on Sunday, October the 6th, Mary, go away, we will return to the air for the same sponsor at the same time and with the same cast. Mary, Phil, Don, Dennis, Andy, and Rochester, who is now touring in vaudeville.
Incidentally, Jack, who's taking over our summer show? Has it been settled yet?
Yes, Don. The Aldrich family is going to move in for 3 months. As a matter of fact, young Henry Aldrich is dropping in here in just a little while. I want you all to be very nice to him. He'll probably be scared stiff in front of a microphone. Huh?
Scared in front of a microphone? Why, Henry Aldrich is a veteran in radio.
Why, he can't be. He's just a kid.
Sure, but he's had his own program for the past 2 years. Gee, he's funny.
Funny? Does he do comedy?
Haven't you heard about him, Jackson? Why, that kid's a riot. He's terrific.
He is? And he's young, eh?
Yeah, and you want to watch out for that boy.
Remember the old saying, make way for tomorrow.
Well, if he thinks he's coming out here to steal my... Oh, I'm not worried. But then... What's my sponsor thinking of, putting another comedian in my place?
Now, take it easy, Jack. The boy won't hurt you. He's only taking your place for 3 months.
Oh, that's right.
A lot can happen in 3 months.
What do you mean?
Well, suppose at the end of the summer, Henry Aldrich goes to our sponsor and says, look, I did all right on the summer show. Why make a change?
What?
Why not keep the Aldrich family?
But...
Why let go of a good thing?
Yeah, what do you need with Benny? Why the little double-crosser? I'll punch that Aldrich kid right in the nose.
Now, Jack, don't get excited. The kid doesn't mean any harm.
Then why is he trying to put me out of work? Especially at my age. Ooh, my back.
All of a sudden, you're old and feeble.
Oh, no, I'm not. Well, fellas, if that's the way they want it, all right. Heaven knows I try to entertain the American public. But that's life, I guess. Life.
Jack, what are you talking about? You'll be back on this program next October.
Don't try to soften the blow, Don. I can see the handwriting on the wall. Thank heaven I've saved a few pennies.
Ye gods, have you got that fortune in pennies?
It's no time for jokes, Mary. And I think that a little squirt like that Aldrich kid can come along and come in and take away all that I've built up through years of constant... Come in, come in. Well?
Hello, Mr. Benny. I'm Henry Aldrich.
Oh, you are, eh?
got a nice hand there, didn't he?
Yeah, that's the public for you. Fickle. A little while ago, they were doing that for me. Well, young man, you can very nicely get right out of this studio.
Get out of this studio? Why, our sponsor sent me.
I don't care what our sponsor did. You don't start working on this program until next week, so scram. Yeah,
but I flew all the way here from New York just to be on your show tonight.
I don't care if you did. Get out.
For Mr. Bunny.
That's nothing. Get out before I throw you out.
What's going on here?
You know what's going on. Teach you to take my job away. Look at him standing there. You're so darn funny, Aldrich. Why don't you go ahead and tell a joke? Go ahead. Make me laugh.
Gee whiz, Mr. Benny. I can't understand all this. I came all the way from New York to be with you tonight.
Who cares?
I'm bewildered. Everybody told me you were such a nice fellow.
I heard a little bit about you, too, buddy. Now, please get out of here.
Oh, Jack, you have to fall for everything. We were only kidding you.
Why, of course. You don't have to worry, Jack. It's just a rib.
Rib nothing. I can look right at that boy and see he's got talent. Can't pull the wool over my eyes.
Hair either.
Quiet. Worried enough.
Oh, wake up, Jackson. This kid isn't trying to take your job.
But my goodness, Mr. Benny, I think you're the greatest comedian in the world. You're my ideal.
I am, eh?
Honest. Why, I'd rather go without supper than miss you on Sunday night.
Oh, yeah? Well.
Oh, I always listen. Why, I know all of your stuff by heart.
Oh-ho! Put up your dukes! Put them up, kid!
Jack! Jack!
Grab him! Grab him!
Jack, what's the matter with you? Calm down!
Calm down? You just heard him admit he was stealing my stuff.
Oh, no. You misunderstand me, Mr. Benny. All I meant was that you're so funny that I can't help but remember everything you do.
Oh. Oh, I see. Well, I'm sorry I made that pass, eh? So you think I'm pretty funny, eh, kid?
Yes, sir. I think Phil Harris is very amusing, too.
Oh, you do, eh?
But when it comes to class, you got him beat a mile.
Well, Henry, I'll have to admit that Phil is a little corny.
Oh, you're both corny, but you have more finesse.
Now, look, Henry.
See what I told you? The kid's a panic.
Yeah. Now, look, Henry, there are a couple of rather personal things I want to talk to you about. I'll tell you what. Let you and I run down to the drugstore. I want a sandwich anyway. I'll talk to you there.
Okay. Well, so long, everybody.
So long, Henry. Henry. So long. Goodbye. Good luck on your summer show.
Gee, thanks.
Goodbye, Mary. Give me a kiss.
Kiss Henry. Oh, so long.
I'll see you later. Come along, Henry.
Okay, Mr. Penny.
Well, Henry... Now, here's what I want to talk to you about. You see, I do a comedy show 9 months out of the year. Now, you're coming on for the summer, and I think our audience would like a contrast.
What do you mean, Mr. Benny?
Well, why don't you do a dramatic show or read poetry or something?
Well, but you see, the Aldridge family has been very successful on the air. We want to continue with it.
Oh. But, Henry... People get tired of laughing all the time. Why don't you introduce a serious note? You know, make people cry.
Cry, Mr. Benny?
Sure, that sob stuff goes over big.
I smell a rat.
Oh. Well, look, Henry, here's another idea. Have you ever considered doing a sort of an adventure serial? Something with suspense and action. For instance, look, you can be lost in the jungle. Savages and wild animals will be after. You know, make a real thriller out of it.
No comedy, eh?
No, not in the jungle, Henry.
Well, I don't think our sponsor would like that.
Oh. Well, here's the drugstore. Let's go in and have something. Look, Henry, don't you want to show the sponsor how versatile you are?
I want to get laughs, Mr. Benny, just like you do.
Oh. Hey, buddy, give me a tuna fish and peanut butter sandwich.
Okay.
Let's try it again. Now, look, Henry, Henry, let me paint a picture for you. Say, for instance, you're lost in the jungle, and week after week, people will be tuning in to find out what's happening to you. They're worried about you. They'll be on edge. Did the golden dragon get Henry, they'll say? Or have the cannibals got him? Think of that.
I'll have a chocolate soda.
But Henry...
Vanilla ice cream.
Now look, Henry, forget about the jungle. Here's another idea for you. You're an office boy on a big new city newspaper, and you're just dying for a break. You want to be a reporter, see?
Uh-huh.
Well, one day there's a big fire in the building next door, and Millicent Mandalay, the girl you're going to marry when you're 21, is trapped in this burning building. You hear her screaming, Henry! Henry, help me! Help!
No soap.
Listen. So hearing her cries, you dash right into the blazing inferno. Think of it, Henry. Flames to the right of you. Flames to the left of you. I tell you, Henry, this is the time.
And now here's our recipe for keeping as cool as a cucumber this summer. It's a swell new Jell-O recipe called Cucumber Pineapple Salad. Why, there's an even breezy, refreshing sound to the name itself. And believe me, here's one time when there really is something in a name. Tiny diced pieces of crisp cucumber, golden wedges of juicy pineapple, and clear emerald lime Jell-O. Yes, sir, it's enough to make the laziest summer appetite perk right up and say more. And better yet, it's so simple and easy that it's practically making itself. Just prepare one package of lime Jell-O in the usual way and chill until slightly thickened. Next, fold in a cup of diced cucumbers and one slice of canned pineapple cut into wedges. If you use fresh pineapple, be sure to cook it. Then mold and serve on lettuce. And there it is, friends, a bright, colorful salad with a grand, tantalizing taste. Just the thing for warm weather meals, which must be light, yet delicious. So tomorrow, enjoy this new Jell-O salad, a delightful combination of cool, tingling cucumbers and golden pineapple, tucked into a glistening mold of tempting lime Jell-O.
This is the last number of the last program in the current Jell-O series, and we'll be with you again next October 6th at the same time. Meanwhile, I hope you will all enjoy The Aldrich Family starring Ezra Stone beginning next week. Before signing off, I'd like to thank our listeners everywhere and the members of my cast for their splendid cooperation. I would also like to thank my authors, Bill Morrow and Ed Beloyne, who worked with me in the preparation of my material. And oh yes, I think I better thank Ezra Stone, too.
You're welcome, Buck.
Good night, folks. See you next fall.
J-E-L-L-O.
Be sure to listen next Sunday to the Aldrich Family, same time, same station.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.